This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring trial consultant and body language expert Susan Constantine.
There's been a constant narrative that they're trying to put out there, or that she was trying to put out there. He was as well, before obviously her body was found, and that was that somebody took her. It couldn't have been she ran away. Couldn't have been she been murdered. But let's take a look at some of those clips. This is still from that WFTV interview talking.
We spoke about her birthday party. She had a birthday party on Sunday. She had a great time. I couldn't make it because I was working, but she had an amazing time. She was so happy with all her gifts. I told her good night, and that was it. I wasn't the one who took her to school in the morning. That was my partner. She's 13 years old, yes.
13, Madeline?
Madeline.
What are you thinking right now?
In my heart, I feel like somebody took her. This isn't like her to just pick up and run away. Or just not go to school. I don't know what to think.
Friends, the friends' parents, you've contacted and everyone. Went through every single person?
Everyone that we know that she knows. We've contacted them all, reached out to them. The parents have gone out to search and look for her as well. And we haven't come up with anything yet.
The deception just seems so ingrained in her, almost as if this was not just like, oh, something happened and now I'm trying to cover for my boyfriend. It's like she's known for a long time, in my opinion, that something's been off or something's very wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing I want to mention to you, the birthday part is the big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What we find out about in murders, oftentimes when there's an event, and especially when they bring it up, which has to do with the birthday, and the timing of it was the day after the birthday party. The birthday party, something there is what the trigger was. There was a trigger from the birthday party. She wasn't there. She said she wasn't working. She was working. Her 13th birthday. Yeah. That's significant for a young woman, right? She said that she really had a good time. Also, and she says that when she got home, she kissed her goodnight. That's a sign she was already dead, by the way. Anytime somebody adds that and injects it into a story that says that they kissed him goodnight, that's usually a significance and statement analysis. The person is already dead. She was already dead. Okay. She didn't kiss her. The other word was taken. Anytime a person adds the word taken is also a final word. It's like gone. Not instead of saying my daughter's missing or saying she's gone, usually gone or taken are usually signs that they're dead. This is what we find in statement analysis and police reporting, thousands and thousands of, and we find that there is a perpetual, is common.
Okay.
With like a common thing that we see is a thread of commonality. So, anyway, so I think it's the birthday party that ensued. I think that something happened. We don't know. We do know there was pictures that they found, right? We already know. I think it's very difficult to understand that she wouldn't have known that something was unusual with your daughter's behavior, also with his behavior, and any sort of clues to where he's making eye contact with her in an odd way, or her child's unusualness around or apprehension about being around him or feeling uncomfortable. There had to have been something. She couldn't be that blind.
Yeah.
She just couldn't be. And something occurred. She was dead then. Look at the fear response, you know? Mm-hmm. And then remember, she tails off in there. She's always like, and well, that's all.
Yeah. It's a statement over.
Yeah. Builds up and gives you all this irrelevant information. And she's also setting the scene for, we have looked everywhere. Everybody has found nothing. So she's
Yes. Just
setting the stage. That's all she's doing.
That is a big one. Uh-huh. And that's one of those things that I've noticed quite a bit is there's, she's literally dismissed searches for her daughter while she was missing. I'm going to go to that one right now. This is from the Fox 35 interview initially.
I'm staying at home, staying by the phone, hoping she just appears. I know my entire family is out looking. They've all spread a bunch of flyers. They've gone, I've had people contact me that they've gone to the international airport to spread flyers, to Amtrak, to Greyhound, just any way that if someone's taken her and they're trying to take her, just to show her face, just to make sure, you know, she's not being taken against her will.
Did that? She's staying by the phone. She's
been taken like three or four times.
Yeah, and there was also a mention in this, and I don't know if it was in that clip or not, where where she mentions, I don't think they're going to find her over by the woods. I don't think they're going to do that. And that to me was also very, very bizarre as to why one would dismiss someone who's actively searching for your daughter. Be like, yeah, I don't think they're going to find him. Susan, what's your take?
What your mother would say is, I hope that my child's not out in the woods. We're still, you know, we're not even thinking that right now. What we're thinking about is trying to find our daughter or my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so that is shouldn't be even in, you know, in her mind. But I want you to watch, and this is just one clip. If you watch the boyfriend's behavior in the back, he's in the freeze response, right? Yeah. So he's kind of stalking over her, watching her, distinguishes. I don't think he thinks that he's actually in the picture of the camera. But you showed one clip, but there's another one too. Of where, you know, she's talking about that when she dropped off, we just don't know where she was there. And he comes up and he's stroking his beard or he's rubbing his head. And there's other times where he's stretching his fingers and he's cracking his knuckles. These time that with when she makes these specific statements, because the statements that she's making, his reaction is from that stimulus.
And here's really? Specifically, yeah, what I was talking about. I'm turning the volume on to this.
They're also taking their own vehicles. I'm not sure what type of vehicles, but they're going into the woods to search for her. But I don't feel like that's going to find anything right now. We've had people all day on that trail sending us photos to see if anything there looks familiar and like her personal belongings, and nothing is hers. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm just contacting the news to get the word out, to get some help, because I'm desperate. I'm a wreck right now.
She talks about this like she lost her puppy, that she didn't really like that much. It's really kind of how it feels.
Right. Yes. Well, early on in the interview, there's a lot of the video that's not here. The one that Fox 35 showed me. But I think that the other one is actually more revealing, because that's when she's saying, you know, we went to the, you know, I went to the school, we dropped her off, and she went from we to then it was a boyfriend who ended up dropping off and drove away.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
first of all, she's speaking about that in present tense, not in past tense. Okay, so we drove her to school, which would mean past tense, but then my boyfriend drove away. He's the one that drove and then drove away. That's present tense, right? So if she flips from past tense to present tense, and then she changes her pronouns. And also she misses one too. There's instead of saying, told her good night or told her whatever, or the boyfriend actually said that, told her I love you or something. He doesn't say, I told her I love you. There's a lot of stuff that's happening when it comes to pronouns, the change in pronouns, from the I to the we, to the I. And we already know that's not true. We already know it's not true that that was Madeline that was in, right, that was dropped off in the camera. We know that is not true. So why is she lying so much? That's the big thing. Is he covering for her? And that's what I've said from the beginning.
Yeah.
Early on, I said, you got to look at him as a suspect. I think he is the one that's responsible. You need to take a good look at this guy. I was panicked on air. When I saw it, I almost flipped out, right?
Yeah.
And I urged him when I said that, you know, sheriff's office, right? You need to pay attention. Is she covering up for him?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. Why are you defending your boyfriend? Does she not, is that she's missing, and there's, and maybe he said, they're going to start looking at me. You know, they are, because I was the last person that dropped her off. And then she goes, yeah. Well, we can't say that story because that's going to get you in trouble. We just have to focus on trying to find her.
Yeah.
And he's playing this game behind the scenes, and she's maybe naive and feeding into it. But I think that she did know something was wrong, especially when you look at the part where she says, I kissed her goodnight. There's too many clues and deceptive language that led to believe that she knew she was dead already. So why is she covering up? I have no idea.
And it's sick, because if you're to go into analyzing, you know, why is she covering up for him? Then you start to kind of look at all these charges that he has against him now, the multiple years of sexual abuse that's been on camera. And you kind of go, how did you not know this was going on in your home? Where were these photos going? Who else are you sending them? Are you trafficking her? And it kind of then starts to lean into, was mom a part of that? We don't know the answer to that right now, but I'm sure they're very quickly trying to build their case against her, if that's what it is. But that's the so sick, scary part, is this is the one person in your world who should be protecting you at all costs. And were you a part of her abuse, mom? Right. And that's, I think, a big question.
You know, Tony, when you look at this, first of all, pedos have a soup du jour. They have specific demographic of what they like: boys, little girls, little kids between certain small age kids to toddlers to, I know it sounds sick, teens, and, you know, even elderly people. I mean, it can go really weird, right? So my question would be, which he is a pedo, because we've already heard about all the videos and the graphicness of them. What was her sex life like? So that would in itself be a clue, because when these pedos are so fixated and this is what gets them off, it's hard for them to get off on somebody that's their own age and it's a normal, healthy relationship. It doesn't happen. So to me, that would be a huge, big red. And I've mentioned that in a couple different shows, only because of the training that I've gotten in the emerging trends of sexual crimes against children, learning about pedophilia and those that are the perpetrators, and what they look for and what they like and why they like it, and watching the interviews of all these perps, and realize that, you know, they have a soup du jour.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.